ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I've been asked to speak on Gita Mahatmya. So it's a great pleasure to do that, to speak on the glories of Bhagavad Gita. All the great acharyas who have appeared in this world have quoted extensively from Bhagavad Gita, taking it as the main source of their shastric pramana. All the great acharyas, they accept Bhagavad Gita as the most important book of spiritual knowledge in any spiritual discussion, at least among followers of the Vedic culture, Hindus, as we may say. The Bhagavad Gita, if that is quoted, that should be accepted as the most important book. Generally, although there are many, many books of spiritual knowledge in the Vedic culture, Vedas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas, Upanishads, Brahmanas, so many different things. But the Bhagavad Gita, although only 700 verses, is accepted as the essence of all spiritual knowledge, most important of all books. Why that is so is mentioned in this Gita Mahatmyam. Gita Shastramidang Punyam Yapatet Prayatapuman Vishnu Padam Avapnoti Bhayashokadi Varjitaha. This Gita Shastra, this is called Gita, Bhagavad Gita. There are many Gitas, Devi Gita, Hanuman Gita, Uddhav Gita, Anu Gita. Generally, when we say Gita, we think of Bhagavad Gita. You know, this is the most important of all the different. Gita means all these different Gitas. They are recitals of spiritual instruction. But especially when we speak of Gita, if we don't qualify, that means Bhagavad Gita, because this is the most important of all. This Bhagavad Gita. So here it's said that this Gita Shastra, it is in itself pious, punya. Generally, those who are pious people, they are interested in acquiring punya. And for the sake of acquiring punya, they may perform some vratam, or they may go to some holy place. They may give in charity. They may give cows in charity. They may protect cows. There are so many different things which can be done for punya, punya karma. But simply to study this Bhagavad Gita, that in itself gives all punya. Now, what is the meaning of punya? Generally we think punya is the opposite of pap. Some pious activity that will elevate us. Then maybe by doing that punya, we can go to Swargaloka or whatever. So actually by studying Bhagavad Gita, you can do that. You can go to Swargaloka. But if we read the Bhagavad Gita, what will Bhagavad Gita tell us? Bhagavad Gita will tell us that Taitang Bhuktva Swargalokang Vishalakshine Punye Martyalokang Vishanti. That you can get punya and go to Swargaloka, but when your stock of punya is finished, you have to come back here again. So here is recommended that by studying Bhagavad Gita, you can go to Vishnupad, you can go to Vishnuloka, where there is no bhaya, no fear and no shok. In the heavenly planets, in Swargaloka, there's still fear. There's a fear you're going to fall down again. And lamentation, that's also there, that I can't stay here forever. But if you go to Vishnuloka, to the planet of Lord Vishnu, then there's no falling down. That is the eternal position, as Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Yadgadvana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. If you go there, you stay there. You don't have to come back. So the kind of punya that's being recommended here, there is the punya of Vishnu Bhakti, which is that not only cancels out all sinful reactions, as we shall read further on, but that lifts us up beyond this material world, way, way beyond this material world, and takes us to the spiritual world. Gita dhyayana shilasya pranayama parasya cha naiva santi hi papani purva janma kritani cha. So here is recommended to, here we'll read in the upcoming verses also, to concentrate on Bhagavad Gita. Later we'll see also Gita, Sugita Kartavyam. We should study it very nicely. It's not simply a matter of reciting in a parrot-like fashion, but Gita Dhyana. We should meditate or introspect. What is the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita? Try to understand. And here is said also, pranayama parasya cha. But practically no one in this age can properly do that anyway. And it's not this pranayama. And it's not a necessary adjunct to bhakti. If you can do sitting nicely, sitting straight, all these things, this will help. But the main thing is to accept, what is the essence of Gita? What is the essence of Gita? Many times we see on this wall, there is some sign, Gita sa. Jo hua wo acha hua. Jo hai wo acha hai. Or jo hoga wo acha hoga. Something like that. But actually we don't find any such thing in Bhagavad Gita. Nor does it even make any common sense. Jo hua wo acha hota ta. To hitla bhi acha ta. Oh, mera mami mar gaye hai. Oh, acha. Sab kuch acha hai. Mera bahut daad hai sir pa. Oh, acha, acha. Sab kuch acha hai. So we don't find any such thing in Gita. There's differentiation. Gita is giving us the spiritual knowledge by which we can differentiate between what is proper and what is improper. And those who don't know, they are described as asura, pravritting cha, nivritting cha, janana vidur asuraha. Those who don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done, they are called the asura. So Krishna is recommending us to develop the daivi sampati, abhayam sattva sangshudhir, jnana yoga vivastiti, danang damas cha yagyas cha ityadi. Krishna is recommending us to develop the spiritual qualities by which we can become purified and become devotees of Krishna. So what is the Gita Sa? What is the essence? The essence is given there. Sarvagu hyatamam bhuya shinume paramangvacha manmana bhavamad bhakto sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. The essence of Gita is given at the end. In the Gita there is discussion. Kam, Jnana, Yoga, Bhakti. Who are the Devas? The Devatas are discussed. And Arjuna addresses Krishna as Deva Deva. Deva means who we are worshipping. But who are the Devas worshipping? Yang Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavai. All the Devas, they are worshipping Krishna. So the essence, the Gita Sa, the essence of Gita is to think of Krishna, become his devotee, surrender to him. So that is the essence, that is the punya, if we understand. It's not simply a matter, even if you recite Bhagavad Gita in a parrot-like fashion, you can do. You can do in a parrot-like fashion. But the real thing is to enter into the meaning. And if you do that, then what does Krishna say? Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshayishyami ma shucha. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions, Krishna says, if you surrender to me. So the same thing is said here. Naiva sandhi papani purva janma kritani cha. Whatever sinful activities we have performed, they will be cleared by studying Bhagavad Gita. Not only studying, but accepting the essence in our lives, taking it up in our lives. Bhagavad Gita is a book which directs us how to act in our lives. What should you do? Arjuna was bewildered. What should I do? Krishna told him, you should act like this. You should act in devotion. You should work for me. Yad karoshi, yad asnasi, yad jahoshi, tadasi yad, yad tapasyasi kuntaya, tad kurushva madarpanam. Krishna says, you do everything for me. Whatever you eat, whatever you do, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerities you do, do it for my sake. Mat karma krin, mat paramo, that you work for me, accepting me as supreme. So in the same way, we have to accept the message of Krishna into our very lives, then we become purified, freed from all sins. At least previously, in Hindu culture, people were very much concerned how to get free from sin and not to commit any sin. You'll see, even the Jains, they have taken practically to extreme degree, the Jain sense. They with the cover over their mouth, and even not the sense, ordinary Jains, they won't take potatoes because they're afraid of digging the earth. They don't want to do any harm to anyone. As Krishna says in Gita, Advishta sarva bhutanam maitra karana eva cha. We should not be harmful to anyone, friendly to everyone. So in Vedic culture, people were very much afraid of committing sins, because if you perform some sinful activity, there is a reaction. It's not that you just jo hua wo acha hua, that everything is all right, everything is all the same. No, there is a difference. If you deal with someone very nicely, then that is punya. And if you punch them in the face for no reason, that is called pap, or even for any reason. So there is a difference. So people in the Vedic culture, they were aware that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Not only in science school, but in your life. Even if you tread on an ant, there is sinful reaction. Even if you do accidentally. What to speak of purposefully eating meat, drinking wine, and all these sinful things. So in the Vedic culture, people are very careful to be free from sin. But here we see that by surrendering, by studying Gita and surrendering to Krishna, we are freed from sinful reactions. That's further explained. Malanir mochanam pungsang jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gitam basi snanam sangsara malanashanam. That every day, every civilized person, they take bath at least once a day. So that's a daily function. Why do you do that? Your body becomes clean. But if you take a bath in the nectar, water, Ganga water of Bhagavad Gita, you become cleansed of the sins of your material life. Ganga is Patita Pavani. She purifies anyone who takes bath in Ganga water. They become purified from their sinful reactions. Anyone who even touches Ganga, anyone who even thinks of Ganga, becomes purified. Ganga is so purifying. But Gita is even more purifying in the sense that by hearing Gita, we become freed from sinful reactions. And we get the knowledge by which we will no longer perform any sinful activities. So in that sense, Gita, bathing in the nectar of Bhagavad Gita, that is even more important than taking Ganga Snan. How important is Bhagavad Gita? Therefore, Sakrit Gitam Basi Snanam. Then Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyai Shastra Vistarai Yaswayang Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinistrita. Gita Sugita Kartavya. Gita should be very carefully recited, very nicely recited. As I was saying, it's not simply parrot-like matter, but with great bhakti we should recite Bhagavad Gita, remembering that these are the very words spoken by Krishna himself. You see, our Srila Prabhupada, he translated this Bhagavad Gita in English. So the translation is there, the meaning is there. But he would have his disciples recite the verse in Sanskrit. That even though the meaning is there in English, and even though most of them didn't understand the Sanskrit, the Prabhupada would train them how to chant these verses. Because the very sound is purifying, because it is exactly the same sound. That was the same words that are used by Bhagavan. So you'll find in the Gita there are many words, bhumi, apo, anala. These refer to just some material things. Bhumi means earth, apo means water, anala means fire. So if you say this word, you may say, well, it's just a material sound. But when it's combined in the verses of Bhagavad Gita, bhumi apo nalo vayo kangmano buddhiri vacha ahankara itiyang me bhina prakriti rashtata. And this is the way that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has personally spoken from His very mouth. Therefore, when recited in this way, it becomes absolutely pure, non-different from Krishna. So it becomes purifying. These very words, they emanated from Krishna's mouth. Therefore we say Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means Krishna's speaking is so beautiful, it's just like singing. Then, Bharatamrita Sarvasvam Vishnu Vaktrat Vinisritam Gita Gango Dakang Pidva Punarjanma Navidyate. This Bhagavad Gita is part of the Mahabharata, which is a very big work. I think it's the biggest book in the world. Very long book. And in that book you'll find so many discussions, so many stories, so many instructions. Santi Parva, Anushasana Parva, you'll find a lot of instructions on all kinds of social and economical and political matters. But the very essence of Bhagavad Gita is only, of the Mahabharata, is only in 700 verses, which is that part which is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He speaks in other parts of the Mahabharata too, but this particularly is the essence of Mahabharata. And actually that is stated that what is that? Sri Shudra Dvija Bandhunam Traina Veda Gochara, that this Mahabharata was especially composed for Sri women, Sri Shudra Dvija Bandhu, the fallen descendants of the higher castes. So these three are considered not fit for understanding the Vedas. Therefore Mahabharata was composed for them to draw their attention to some spiritual subject matter of which the Gita is the essence. Even if you don't read all the Mahabharata, you can read Bhagavad Gita, which again is compared. Gita gangodakam pitva. Drink this nectar of Bhagavad Gita. You drink it through the ears. And what will be the result? Punarjanmana vidyate. No more birth and death. One who studies Bhagavad Gita, he will get the idea that yes, what is the nature of this material life? Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Anityam asukam lokam. This material world, it stinks. There's nothing good here. Simply repeated birth and death. What is the very nature of this material world? Janma mrityu jaravyadhi. Dukkha. You should see this. How? Dukkha dosh anudarshanam. You should see, anudarshanam means by hearing from those who can explain it properly. How miserable. And then you can see. You have to see through the eye of Shastra. Shastra chakshu. See through the eye of Shastra that there are big billboards. Win a motor car. Go on holiday to Paris. They're advertising. Life is so wonderful. Earn more money. Be happy. Get a new car. But someone who sees through the eye of Bhagavad Gita, he understands this is all nonsense. There's no happiness in this material world. It's simply a bluff. Therefore, his desire to come out of this material world increases, and he wants to go back to Godhead. And that, he will get the direction how to get out of this material world by studying Bhagavad Gita. So the knowledge that we require to understand that this material world is useless, that's the beginning of spiritual life, to understand this material world, there's nothing useful here for me, I don't belong here. So where do I belong? I belong in the spiritual world. I am part of Krishna. So that direction, where to go and how to go there and why we should go there, that's all in Bhagavad Gita. Then, Sarva Upanishado Gavo. This Bhagavad Gita is sometimes called Gita Upanishad. Upanishad means some spiritual knowledge which is spoken by guru to disciple. You'll find all the Upanishads like this. So here we have Guru Krishna, Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru, the best of all gurus, Adi Guru, original guru, speaking to Arjuna, who is the ideal disciple. And we find that all the essence of the Upanishads is distilled in this Bhagavad Gita. Many of the Upanishadic references, they're very similar to verses in the Bhagavad Gita. The Upanishads explain that we are not material. We don't belong in this material world. We belong in this spiritual existence. Aham Brahmasmi. I am not this body. I am eternal. The Upanishads, they discuss that we are eternal, we are spiritual. They discuss what is Brahma, what is the absolute truth. So all the Upanishadic knowledge is concentrated in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore this example is given, Sarva Upanishado Gavo, that this Bhagavad Gita is like a cow, which is composed of all the knowledge of the Upanishads. And Dugda Gopala Nandana. So if there's a cow, you can be sure Krishna is going to be there, because he's a cowboy, cowherd boy, Gopa. He's Gopala Nandana, Nanda Nandana. So he's milking this cow. And Paritavatsa, that if you want to milk a cow, you have to bring the calf. And then the cow becomes very eager to give milk. But by God's arrangement, there's the milk is more than enough for the calf, so others can enjoy. So here, who are the others who are enjoying? Sudhir, Sudhir Bhukta. Those who are very steady intelligence, they can also enjoy the nectar of, what is that nectar? What is that milk? Dugdam Gitamritam Mahat. That great nectar is the message of Bhagavad Gita. So it's a nice allegory that Krishna is the cow, is all the knowledge of the Upanishads, and the essence of the cow comes out in the form of milk. So Arjuna is the calf, Krishna is taking the milk, Arjuna is the calf who inspires Krishna to speak. And all others who are very intelligent and self-controlled and peaceful, they can appreciate this nectar of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Ekang Shastram Devaki Putra Gita. This Bhagavad Gita is only required. You don't need to read hundreds and thousands of books. Of course, Krishna is unlimited. There are many books about Krishna, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the most important book for describing Krishna in detail. But even if we don't have time to read such a very big book, if we only study this Bhagavad Gita, we'll get all the essence of spiritual knowledge, which is Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mang Namaskaru Mame Vaishasi Satyangte Pratijane Priyosi Me. Krishna is directing. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Bow down to me. Come to me in this way. I will bring you back to me. I promise you, Krishna says. So, Ekam Shastram, Devaki Putra, you see. Calling him Devaki Putra is a very pleasing name. Gita is a book of bhakti. So, bhakti means there is Bhagavan and Bhakta. So, Krishna is known as Devaki Putra, Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandana. So many names of Krishna in relationship with his devotees. So this Bhagavad Gita, this is the enough. Kimangai Shastra Vistaraya. There's no need to study so many different books. Gita Sugita Kartavya. Kimangai Shastra Vistaraya. There's no need to study so many hundreds and thousands of books. You'll get your essence here in Bhagavad Gita. So Ekang Shastram Devaki Putra Gita. Then Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you'll come to the conclusion that there's no need to worship so many different gods, sub-gods, demigods, three-quarters gods, whatever. Lord Shiva is bigger than the other demigods, but not exactly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no need. You can only, if you worship Krishna, everything is complete. Therefore Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. This is the best advice. Sarvagu yatamam bhuya shunume paramam vacha. This is the best advice. To worship Krishna only. That is the message of Gita. Eko mantras tasya namani yani. Then there's only, you don't have to learn millions of mantras. You can just chant the names of Krishna. This is the message of Gita. Satatam kirtayantama, always chant the names of Krishna. And karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. And one work is required for the whole world, that everyone should serve Krishna. So this is the wonderful message of Bhagavad Gita, nectarian message, which if anyone takes it up in their life, in any circumstance, they can become purified and blissful and go back to Godhead. You may think, well, how can I do? How can I follow Bhagavad Gita? I have so many material responsibilities. But see, who was Bhagavad Gita spoken to Arjuna? Now you can't imagine someone in less likely position to execute spiritual life. You had to fight a war. And in fact, Arjuna, he wanted to give up the battle and go away and do meditation. But Krishna told, no, mamanusmara yudhyacha, think of me and fight. Now, not everyone is fighting. That was Arjuna's duty because he was a kshatriya. He had to fight on Krishna's behalf. But Krishna said, your first duty is to think of me, but you also have to perform your material duty. So do the things side by side. So that we can do, whatever situation we are in, we can practice Krishna consciousness. So you may say, well, it's very difficult. Arjuna said the same thing. Chanchalang himana Krishna pramati balavadritam tasyaham nigrahangma ne vayariva sudushkaram. Arjuna protested, my mind is wandering around like the wind. Ati chanchal, how can I control it? Krishna agreed. Asangshayang mahabaho manaddo nigraham chalam. He said, yes, it's true. The mind is very difficult to control. But abhyasena tu kauntaya vairagyena cha grihyate. By proper practice and by gradually becoming detached, you can control the mind and fix it on Krishna. So this is the message of Bhagavad Gita. To be a devotee of Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, to go back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. And this message we will find amplified and broadcast all over the world by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who has translated Bhagavad Gita as it is. When I first saw this book, I was very surprised. I thought, this is a very strange title for a book. Why is it called Bhagavad Gita as it is? I mean, obviously, it must be, if it's Bhagavad Gita, it's not Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. It must be Bhagavad Gita as it is. It must be genuine, but that's the whole point that I came to understand after reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita yatarup. That so many people are giving translations of Bhagavad Gita, but it's not actually what Krishna says, because in the translation, they put their own idea. Just like Krishna says, always think of me. And someone translates and says that actually you shouldn't always think of Krishna directly, but what Krishna really means to say is to think about something inside Krishna, which Krishna never says. Krishna speaks very... Bhagavad Gita is very simple. You don't have to be a great Sanskrit pundit to understand. Anyone who understands any Indian language, except maybe Manipuri, any Sanskrit-based language, they can easily understand what Krishna says. Manmana, manmana, think of me. Bhava madbhakta, become my devotee. It's very easy to understand. Krishna is speaking very simply. There's no need to reinterpret, misinterpret, malinterpret. There's no need to interpret at all. Simply, who is speaking Bhagavad Gita, they should repeat what Krishna says. That is the proper way to speak Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you may call it Bhagavad Gita, but it's not. It becomes your own silly Gita. It's not Bhagavad Gita at all. Why should you interpret? Yasvayam padmanabhasya. If this is spoken by Bhagavan himself, why do you think he spoke it? So that someone can come along later and make some puzzle to reinterpret it? He spoke it clearly. And what was the effect of his speaking? Arjuna said, Nashto moha smritya labdha tvat prasadan maya chuta stitadi stito mi gata sandeha karishe vachanantava. Arjuna said that by hearing what you have spoken, all my illusion is gone. I've regained my consciousness of what I should be doing. by your mercy, Achyuta. Achyuta means he never falls down. Arjuna, or he is a jiva, or we are jivas. We may, of course, Arjuna only superficially, but we may be under the illusion of not knowing our duty to serve Krishna. But Krishna never falls into Maya. Therefore, he is Achyuta. He never falls down. So, now Arjuna says, now I'm fixed in my duty. All my doubts have gone. I'm ready to execute your order. So by hearing Bhagavad Gita, we should come to the same conclusion as Arjuna, that we should be fixed in knowledge that I am the servant of Krishna without any doubt and be ready to serve Krishna as he wants. By studying Gita, we should come to the conclusion that we should be devotees of Krishna, because that's what Krishna says. This is what Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita. He discusses Kam, Gyan and Yoga, but ultimately he stresses only Bhakti. He says, Bhaktya mama vijanati. You can understand me by Bhakti. He never says, by Karma, Jnana or Yoga or anything else. So mostly people are giving interpretations of Bhagavad Gita, but no one becomes a devotee of Krishna by reading that. Before Prabhupada came to the Western countries, there were more than 300 editions of Bhagavad Gita in English language and not a single devotee of Krishna from any one of them, because everyone had given their own interpretation. But after Prabhupada came and gave Bhagavad Gita as it is, so many people have become and are still becoming devotees by reading this Bhagavad Gita. Even in India, there's so much misunderstanding of Bhagavad Gita. We'll find there are some people who they can read, they know all the shlokas front to back and back to front, all the verses. They can tell you all the verses. But what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita to surrender to Krishna? They're not fixed in that. This bhakti you have to take from bhakta. So we see that by this Bhagavad Gita as it is, that people in India also who were confused about the great treasure, their own spiritual knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, the most important treasure of India, that now they are recovering that, reviving that. My forefathers, the British, at least forefathers of this body, I have my spiritual forefathers, Guru Parampara. So the British, they came to India with the noble mission of civilizing the people. Or actually to loot the place, which they were quite efficient at. But the most important treasure, they didn't get. They couldn't recognize it. The most important treasure of Indian culture is Bhagavad Gita as it is Bhagavad Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. This is the life of Vedic culture. Previously at least, whenever anyone met anyone on the road, they would say, in Gujarat, they would say, Jai Shri Krishna, or Ram Ram, Jai Ram, different, what it may be. They would buy the bhakti was the very life. Everyone knew all the stories of Mahabharata, Ram Leela. Everyone conducted their life simply thinking how we can increase our bhakti for Krishna. Nowadays, you'll find people, they know, they have so many heroes, cinema heroes, sports heroes, but Krishna, they're forgetting their real treasure. But that is being revived by the distribution of this Bhagavad Gita as it is. We find so many Indian people who in their blood, that Krishna bhakti is running, but now the blood has become somewhat mixed up, contaminated. The idea, it's not that it's gone, but it's covered over by some silly ideas of modern civilization. But practically we see that by this distribution of Bhagavad Gita as it is, that in India and Indians overseas also, so many people, they're getting life. They're reviving their life. That our real life is to understand Krishna. That this is what we really want. Everyone has coming to Dubai for some money. But that doesn't bring satisfaction. So those who are pious, they won't be satisfied with that. But if they get the opportunity to perform Krishna bhakti, then they will be satisfied. That will satisfy. Swamin kritato smi varangnaya che, this Dhruva Maharaj said, that now he wanted money, not a small amount. He wanted the proprietorship of a planet even better than that of Brahma. But eventually he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu and he said, this is what I want. I don't want anything else. So if we get this Bhagavad Bhakti, if we get this love of Krishna, then we don't want anything else. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundra. Whatever it is, we don't want. I become completely satisfied by that in all respects. In every way, Krishna Bhakti is the best thing for you, for your family. You want to have a happy family. But you're not going to have a happy family by sitting your kids in front of the TV and watching 8 murders a day and some lusty dances. You're not going to have a happy family. They're all going to be shouting. Your kids are going to be shouting at you when they grow up a bit and beating you. If you expose them to such things, you should expose them to Krishna Bhakti. Then you'll have a happy family life. And you'll all go to Krishna. You'll all live very nicely. So you need, it's not a question of should I shouldn't I. Everyone needs this Bhagavad Gita as it is. They need Bhagavad Bhakti in their lives. And you should give this to others also. Mostly everyone here, you all have your relatives in India. So they're all expecting something from you, isn't it? They're all thinking, our cousin or uncle in Dubai, what's he going to give me? So you should give them Bhagavad Gita as it is. Give them the best gift. And they may think, there's some, you'll find in London they sell some t-shirt. It's just the same thing, that someone, tourist, goes to London and then their friends, when they came back, they expect, what gift did you bring me from London? So you can buy a t-shirt that, my father went to London and all he brought me was this lousy t-shirt. So people may think, oh, my relative came from Dubai and all he brought me was this book. What is this? But then if they read it, oh, what a wonderful thing. There's nothing better. You can't get anything better than this. So if you really want to give something to your friends and family that will be the greatest benefit for them, then you should give them Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now, this month is very special. Just we had the Mokshada Ekadashi, the day on which Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So this is the whole month is very auspicious time. And during this month, during the whole month of December, all over the world, so many devotees, members of ISKCON, are going out town to town, village to village, and distributing Bhagavad Gita, even in Russia, where it's minus 30 Celsius. You can't imagine, I can't imagine either, because I haven't been there in the winter. I'm going in 2 weeks, I'll find out. But they're going out in the cold, because they want to give this Bhagavad Gita to others. They have so much inspiration that this Bhagavad Gita has done so much for my life, let me try to give it to others, especially during this month, where there's so much punya, spiritual punya. You get so much blessings of Krishna by giving this knowledge to others. Krishna says in Gita that there is no one more dear to me than he who gives this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to others. Nachatasman manusheshu kaschid me priyakritama. No one is more dear to me than he who gives this knowledge to others. So in the modern age, it's a very nice arrangement that this Bhagavad Gita is printed in, I think, about 90 languages of the world now. And definitely in all the major Indian languages, Hindi, Gujarati, Marathi, Telugu, Tamil, all the languages. So you can give this highest knowledge to others simply by donating Bhagavad Gita and giving it to your friends. So we have some scheme for doing that. The Bhagavad Gita, which languages is printed in Indian languages? Well, English is the most important language in India practically nowadays. So English, Hindi, then Bengali, Assamese. Do we have any Assamese people here? Not so much. Odia, Telugu, Tamil, Kannada, Malayalam, Marathi, Gujarati, did I say? I think that's Bengali I said, didn't I? Bengali. So I think that more or less covers everybody. So you should give the greatest gift to your friends and relatives.